You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Right now, here in Idaho, tens of thousands of people are caring for a loved one who cannot care for themselves. The Idaho Caregiver Alliance estimates one in four Idahoans are taking care of a parent, a grandparent, a child, a spouse, or another family member. And it can be a heavy burden, and caregivers often struggle to find the resources they need. Well, this Saturday, the Idaho Family Caregiver Conference will offer tools to caregivers, and it will, for the very first time, offer a Spanish track because Hispanics can be disproportionately affected by the role of caregiving. So joining us live today are Dr. Sarah Taves, the director of the Center for the Study of Aging at Boise State University, Destiny Triplett, the director of community partnerships with the Idaho Caregiver Alliance, and Adrian Rodriguez, a public health major at BSU, as well as a past caregiver. I want to welcome all three of you to the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
And Dr. Taves, I'd like to start with you if we could. Do you know, a good estimate of how many caregivers there are in Idaho?
Jenna, that's a great question. And one of the realities of being a family caregiver is there is no registry of who is a caregiver. And so the estimate of 300,000 individuals within Idaho that serve as a caregiver during a year is as accurate as we've been able to pinpoint it. But again, it's an invisible population. They do this work out of love and commitment to their families. They don't recognize themselves as a caregiver, and we don't have a system that records or capture their information either.
And Dr. Taves, for folks who haven't heard of it, what is the Idaho Caregiver Alliance, and how does it help these caregivers and their families?
Yeah, thank you. So we are an alliance of about 1,500 individuals and organizations across the state of Idaho that are thinking about the needs of a caregiver from the lifespan perspective. So we don't really care what age you are as a caregiver or the individual you're caring for or their condition, but we are here to weave a network of support that will connect with a caregiver wherever they are in their process of caregiving and offer them support. One of our primary objectives, I think, as the Alliance is to raise the awareness of family caregivers. We know healthcare providers care about family caregivers. They know how important they are to their patients. But the caregiver is often not recognized as a member of the healthcare team or the support team. And so I think one of our primary objectives is this awareness piece, raising it among providers, among legislators, because caregivers save the state of Idaho a tremendous amount of money in terms of their ability to help an individual stay within their home and stay healthy, reduce emergency room use, reduce stays. So our role in this awareness building and then moving systems toward change is where our power and our passion lies.
And Adrian, I want to bring you into the conversation. Are you comfortable talking a little bit about your role as a caregiver?
Yes, thank you, Gemma. And as Dr. Taves was saying, a lot of people don't recognize themselves as caregivers, and just that's why spreading that awareness is really crucial. I myself did not recognize myself as a caregiver. My experience as a caregiver was acute. I was caring for my father post open heart surgery. And through that experience, you really get to see a lot of the toll that it places on you as a caregiver, because there's a lot of responsibilities that you have to suddenly take over on top of your own. You know, also as a student, I was full with my coursework, going to school full time. And then on top of that, assisting my father with his health care. There's a lot that goes into that. So managing medications and just even managing the healthcare system is quite complicated, and also insurance, and also being available for whatever he may need. moving around, cooking, cleaning the house, all of those things, as well as taking care of the farm work and animals. There's really a lot that goes into it and quite a toll that it can place on a caregiver on their physical and psychosocial health as well.
You know, Dr. Taves, I think Adrian brings up a good point, too, as he said that, you know, it was after his father had open heart surgery. So I think sometimes when we think of caregivers, we think of very long term, right? Someone who's maybe an invalid and you're having to give care for maybe many years. But it may be something that's a few months, you know, something like that. And I think that that's maybe why we sometimes don't think, well, someone like Adrian may not view themselves as a caregiver. But do you think we have to also kind of change how we think of caregivers?
Great point. I agree. I think that this notion of serving as a caregiver can be very episodic. It can be short term. It can be long term. I mean, my heart goes out to, and some of the work we do really focuses on families, on parents that are providing care for a child with a medically complex condition. They often see themselves as, well, I'm a parent. This is the role I do. But it's much more than just the kind of normal or typical parenting role. And so any supports that the system can provide to those parents to help them in that capacity, again, it strengthens families, it strengthens the state, our communities. It's really just a good practice as we think about sustainability for you know, our health and well-being across cultures, across the lifespan. But I agree with you. I think it becomes, when it happens to you, you just pick that up because you are family. You love your caregiver. We love our families. And so we just do it without recognizing of the toll it is taking and not really recognizing or knowing about the supports that may be available to you.
Right. And speaking of that, Destiny, I want to talk with you because the Idaho Caregiver Alliance, you have your, as we mentioned, your conference coming up this Saturday, and you decided to add a Spanish track this year. Talk to us about why you made that decision.
Absolutely. So the Spanish track is, of course, delivered in Spanish. So what that allows us to do is kind of meet Spanish-speaking caregivers where they are by being able to offer resources and sessions to them. We have a couple members on our planning committee that are bilingual and already working with Spanish-speaking caregivers, and they have gone the extra mile to help us design those sessions so that they will be culturally appropriate for that audience as well. So it's just a really fantastic opportunity to be able to do some outreach with that community and connect them to the resources that are already out there that they may not be aware of because of the language barrier.
And Adrian, you grew up in Southeast Idaho in a very strong Hispanic household, and you've said that Hispanics require different needs sometimes than non-Hispanic caregivers. So can you explain that a little bit, and what challenges did you encounter as you were caring for your own father?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's definitely a lot of cultural values and beliefs that go into influencing the caregiver, the recipient of care, and, you know, also the delayment of institutionalization. And a lot of it is just not even recognizing that you are yourself a caregiver. A lot of those cultural values are like familismo, where, you know, you just do this because they're a part of your family, dignidad, which means, you know, you just do it with dignity and not really seeing it as a burden. And, you know, the danger in that is that you don't recognize that there are burdens that it places on you. And so there's that need in it as well. And then also, you know, Hispanics have, they're affected just disproportionately from non-Hispanic whites. Many Hispanics, according to the NAC, the National Alliance of Caregiving, 48% of them have reported that they live in the same household as the recipient that they, as the recipient of care. And that's, you know, quite a significant difference from non-Hispanic white caregivers. So there's definitely a like less institutionalization, and due to cultural values and aspects, there's typically Hispanics are much less likely to go out and try to find that care themselves. And in addition to that, they have difficulty, Hispanics have difficulty navigating the healthcare system. Health literacy comes into play there. And then also they tend to be met with language barriers. So there's definitely like a specialized need for a Spanish track. And I'm really excited about that.
Dr. Taves, what would you say that caregivers need to know? Can you give us a few tips for caregivers who may be struggling right now? And I think, as we've talked about earlier, maybe may just assume that this is part of caregiving.
Yes, another great question. And before I approach that, Jenna, I would like to just follow up on something that Adrian shared as well in terms of thinking sure. about differences between caregiving experiences. I grew up on a farm in southeastern Idaho. I recognize the importance of our Latinx population for the health and well-being of our farming and dairy industries in Idaho. These jobs are, as we probably all know, you know, they span a full day. And so yeah. Hispanic caregivers often are really struggling to maintain employment plus maintain those responsibilities of a family caregiver. So again, I think these needs really wrap into how do we support individuals where they are in their circumstances that where they are in their circumstances for economic security for themselves and their other members of their family. But I think that is a crucial need for particularly members of the Latinx community, is that we recognize their importance of them to our Idaho economy and recognize some of the special needs that they may have in order for them to continue to do the work that they do for industry. I think in terms of caregiver supports that we don't even recognize are there, as we think about older adults, we have the Idaho Commission on Aging. They have a wealth of resources on their website. Each of the area agencies on aging in Idaho, which represent different regions of the state, they also have strong caregiver support networks. For the lifespan perspective, when we think of younger individuals, we have mm-hmm. our independent living centers across the state, and those are designed specifically to provide supports and resources to individuals with a disability or other conditions that may limit their capacity. They provide wraparound supports. So for those individuals to remain living independently and in the community, they often need the supports of a caregiver. So I think the independent living centers are crucial as a mechanism of support. We also have a really strong Idaho Parents Unlimited program here. And those are working with families that have children in school with maybe some learning differences, learning disabilities, but to really help parents navigate that system. And then I think for those very young families or families with very young kids, we really need to press on our healthcare systems that they are thinking about how do they support the caregiver that's caring for a child that has a significant health condition or complication. Mm. So those resources are really everywhere, but oftentimes it takes the caregiver to be reaching out to them. I mean, a faith group, your church, you know, they care about their practitioner, their parishioners. But oftentimes it's not it takes a request from the caregiver, and that's really hard. And I think that's what we're hoping to do, is can we make it more visible so that then organizations can promote and celebrate the services that they do have available to caregivers.
And Destiny, in this coming Saturday's Caregiver Conference, I mean, you have one session titled "Do This, Not That." Can you talk very quickly about why have something like that? In the sense of, you know, this is, you know, to take care of yourself as well as a caregiver.
Absolutely. So this is just a session that really it's really geared towards caring for someone with Alzheimer's, a specific session, and it's from the Idaho Commission on Aging. But this is really geared to help individuals through their choices and their behaviors that often make a job tougher than it actually has to be. So this is really just kind of simplifying those everyday tasks for someone that's caring for someone with Alzheimer's. And so it's a lesson to motivate the individual to choose actions that will promote a positive quality of life for people with dementia by not, you know, triggering those distressing behaviors such as aggression or resistance.
Adrienne, I have about 1 minute left and I'd like to end with you. What would you like other caregivers to know who may be new to doing this?
I would like them to know that there are resources out there and to understand exactly your role as a caregiver and to reach out for help because there's a lot of resources out there that I myself was not aware of. For example, there are counseling groups for caregivers. You can receive respite care if you need to, take a break and go do something that you enjoy, go work out so you can come back and better take care of your loved one. There's navigators that can help you navigate through the healthcare system. There's emotional respite, financial planning and management available, and much more social services than that. So definitely, if you can, please come and join the conference. It's free if you're a student this Saturday. The Spanish track also is free as well. And that way you can learn more about your role and becoming aware of it and how you can take care of your health.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for taking time every day to talk about something that we really do need to put more focus on. We have been speaking with Dr. Sarah Taves, the director of the Center for the Study of Aging at Boise State University, Destiny Triplett, the director of community partnerships with the Idaho Caregiver Alliance, and Adrienne Rodriguez, a public health major at BSU, as well as a past caregiver. I want to thank all of you for talking about caregivers and the struggles that they face. As we mentioned, the Idaho Family Caregiver Conference will be held online this Saturday. We'll put a link on our website. More Idaho Matters next.